in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Thank you, Father. Lord, we honor and reverence your presence in our midst. We declare that our hearts and minds are open. We receive the engrafted word. Thank you for granting us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for transformation. Thank you for taking us to the next level. We arise and we shine as your light, the light of your word, come to us, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. If you are excited, come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in God's presence. Glory to God. Walking in the Spirit, part 2. Hallelujah. By God's grace, last week we started this very timely and very important, crucial teaching series. I'm telling you, this is a destiny-defining series. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. It says, "This I say, hear the counsel of Apostle Paul, the counsel of the Spirit through Apostle Paul. This I say, walk in the Spirit." Let me preach it to your neighbor. Say, walk in the Spirit. He said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. This is the sure way. If you don't want to gratify the desires of the flesh, if you don't want to manifest the works of the flesh, if you don't want to give room to the manifestation of the flesh, he said, walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Jump to verse 25. Verse 25. Mandabora Sida. If we live, can we read this together? 1, 2, 3, go. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Very profound counsel of the Spirit. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And last week we defined what it means to walk in the Spirit. Number one, we say it means to conduct yourself and regulate your life based on the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. The guidance and leadership of the Word and the Spirit of God. To walk moment by moment, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, sensitive and obedient to Him. It also means to follow the leading and directives of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life, to live according to God's word, to walk in the light of God's word. To walk in the Spirit, we say, also means to walk in love and to walk by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And we looked at important foundation for walking in the Spirit. We say, number one, you must continually renew your mind with the Word of God through constant meditation. You meditate on God's Word to renew your mind, and you must be submitted to the Lordship of God's Word. The Word of God must become the final authority in your life, must become the standard, the gold standard by which you judge and assess everything else. Then we say you must be spiritually minded. Romans 8:5-6, to be carnally minded is dead, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay, say they that are after the flesh, they are mindful of the things of the flesh. Those that are after the spirit are mindful of the things of the spirit. So you must become more spirit conscious than you are soul or body conscious. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in his body. Your body is not you. Your body is your earth suit. Your body is your earthly address, is the residence where the real you lives. Am I communicating? I'll come back to this later. The third foundation, we say, be filled with the Spirit continually. Be full of the Word, be full of the Spirit. Then we said you must be submitted to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him totally, surrender in obedience. Then the fifth one, develop or build a strong spirit, a strong, robust spirit, because God leads us through our spirit. God leads us from within. So you need a strong spirit. And how do you build a strong spirit? By constant meditation and practice of God's word. Okay, you must meditate on the word and be a prompt doer. Prompt doer. Then you must learn to pray abundantly in other tongues. Learn to pray in the spirit. One of the things that praying in tongues will do, it will sensitize your spirit. It will help to activate your spiritual senses. It will help you develop spiritual discernment and sensitivity. Praying in tongues will help to fine-tune your spirit so that you can easily hear God. It will help to what? Fine-tune your spirit. Glory to God. This is very important. To open up the channels of your spirit. So today we move further from there. Revelation 1:10. Revelation 1:10. John, Apostle John, was banished to the island of Patmos when they tried to kill him, you know, in those days of persecution, but they could not. They had to banish him to the highland of Patmos. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and that Lord's day is Sunday, like today. They call it the Lord's day because that was the day Jesus resurrected. Okay? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the spirit. He didn't say I was in the flesh. You cannot be in the flesh and expect to receive divine guidance, divine leading, and all of that. You have to be in the spirit. Am I communicating? He said, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. John said, I was in the spirit. This is how the whole book of Revelation was downloaded to him. Imagine if he was in the flesh. Some of you don't know what carnality is robbing you of. See, if Apostle John was carnal, if he was in the flesh, do you know the whole revelation, everything God showed him in the book of Revelation, everything God told him, he would have missed out. He would have missed out of it. I was in the spirit and I heard. I was in the spirit and I heard. It's not this physical ear. He's talking of spiritual hearing with his spiritual ears. Next verse. He says, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, what thou seest, he says, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Next verse. He said, and I turned to see what the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. You see, he was in the spirit. Look at how the journey began. He was in the spirit. Then he heard a voice. And then he said he turned to see the voice and he saw. You see, he was in the spirit. He heard, he saw. His spiritual hearing and spiritual seeing, powered by the Spirit. It was not in the flesh. The Bible says, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Am I communicating? Glory to God. The Lord has put something crucial in my heart for us to look at today. We'll be looking at how God leads us. What are the ways God leads us? Very important teaching today. Glory to God. You know, the only time many Christians get serious about hearing God is when it comes to marriage, choice of life partner. The sister, like five different brothers are asking her out. Three out of the five are asking for her hand in marriage. She is now confused. That is when she will say they want to go on 7 days fast. Some say 3 days dry. After doing the 3 days dry, they will still hear the voice of their emotion. Now, the real problem is you don't understand how to hear God. That's the main problem. The problem is not that God does not lead or he does not speak. You've not trained your spirit to be a good receptacle. Am I communicating? To hear God, it requires training. You've got to train your spirit. Praise God. Because it's the same way God has been leading you in your everyday life. It's the same way he's going to lead you when it comes to choice of who to marry. There's nothing special. So if you've not been hearing God about other things, you have a mountain to climb. Now some people like doing fire brigade approach. Or speak today, you understand? Question, how has God been leading you before? It's the same way. So if you've not been hearing him about other matters, how are you going to hear him about this one? So it pays to train your spirit to hear God, to receive the leading of the Spirit. Am I communicating? This is very important. It pays. The primary ministry of the Holy Spirit is to give us revelations, teachings, guidance, and direction. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And what is truth? The Word of God. So he is the Spirit of the Word. Remember, he is the author of the Word. Now he says, he will guide you. The first thing Jesus said there is that he will guide you. This is part of his primary mission, to guide you. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, he will show you. I see something? Guidance. Look at the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number one, divine guidance. Number two, revelation. He will show you. Am I communicating? Next verse. He will guide you. He will speak to you. He shall glorify me. He will receive of mine and show it to you. Hallelujah. This is very important. Next verse. All the things the Father had are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it to you. Glory to God. This is very critical. You know, it will even surprise you that, do you know that empowerment is not even the number one assignment of the Holy Spirit? This is the number one assignment. Look at it. The primary mission, guidance, revelation, teaching. Jesus said, he shall teach you all things. It's after the Holy Spirit has carried out these things I just mentioned, his primary mission, then he will now empower you, because it's dangerous to empower you without the initiatives I just mentioned. Without the revelations of God's Spirit, without divine guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit, without you receiving and subscribing to his teachings, empowering you becomes dangerous. If you notice the order, empowerment was the last thing Jesus mentioned of all the assignment of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice? In John chapter 14, before Jesus went to the cross, he started talking to the disciple about the Holy Spirit. And then he started saying, he shall teach you all things. He said, he will show you things. He said, he will guide you. He will lead you. Then the last thing he now told them, he says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed or endued with power from on high. Then Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. But did you notice that the empowerment came after what? His ministry of revelation, guidance, direction, teachings. Notice the order. It's very important, because if you empower a man that lacks revelation, that is not well guided, you know, it's like giving power to a madman. Imagine what the man will do with the power. Are you getting me? It becomes too dangerous. So you need to be properly guided. Anybody will just make you vex. Go just say, turn her into rabbit. Turn her into chinge. Put her in for pocket. You understand? Power in the hand of a man that is not well taught, not well guided, not well directed, can destroy. Praise God. They say, where the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse becomes what? Inevitable. Some can even make merchandise with it. Business. We have many people like that, merchandising the anointing. You see this handkerchief? This handkerchief, Jesus appeared to me and gave it to me. You see this handkerchief? $5,000. Praise God. Glory to God. You see this oil? Now the one way came out from my inner chamber. Where I dey pray, the very room, the holy of holies, I dey lie on top of the oil when I dey pray. 21 days fast. Is it this oil? One cup. Now 1 million. I no go beg you now. If you no want, you no want. If you want, you want. We know they do those kinds of here. Are you listening? So this is very important. You need to be well taught. You need to receive the revelations of the Spirit. You need to be well guided, directed by the Holy Spirit. You need to subscribe, am I communicating, to His ministry and teaching. And then empowerment becomes a plus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, To discern, recognize, and receive the leadings of the Holy Spirit, you should first focus on training your spirit man in order to receive and hear God. I said, to discern, recognize, and receive the leadings of the Holy Spirit, you should first focus on training your spirit man. Training your spirit to hear God, to receive from God. That means your spiritual senses and organs of perception must be well trained and developed. It must be well trained and developed. You need to sharpen your spiritual sensitivity by training and educating your spiritual senses and organs of perception. Your spiritual receptacles must be rightly conditioned, must be well positioned and fine-tuned to hear God. You must stay full of God's Spirit. You must be full of God's Word. It's easier to be Spirit-led when you are full of the Spirit. It's easier to be Spirit-led when you are first Spirit-filled. When you are full of the Word and you are full of the Holy Ghost, it's easy for your spiritual receptacles to be rightly conditioned, well positioned, and fine-tuned to hear God. Then you must become more Spirit-conscious, be spiritually minded, and become God-inside minded to be Spirit-led. Hallelujah. Look up. God leads us from within. let me draw a diagram. You know, I like teaching with some illustrations. Watch this. Make a big circle like your mother chicken pot, cooking pot. Is it cooking pot? Watch this. This is your body. This is your soul. This is your spirit. Now watch this. Your body contains those five physical senses, right? The five physical senses, what are they? Touch, sight. Next, hearing. Physical sight, physical hearing. Taste. Smell. And what? Touch. That's what is obtainable in the body. The body contains those five physical senses: the sense of sight, sense of hearing, sense of taste, smell, and touch. Your soul, I taught last week concerning your soul. I say your soul has three main components. What are those three main components of your soul? Your mind, with which you think and imagine, right? Your will, emotion, with which you what? You feel, feelings, faculty of feelings. Then your will, with which you make choice, your choices and decision. So the soul has the mind, your faculty of thinking and imagination, emotion, faculty of feelings, then your will, faculty of making decision and choices. God created man a free moral agent. Okay, we say your thinker, your feeler, your chooser, right? The soul contains your thinker, your feeler, your chooser, then your spirit. Now watch this. Your spirit is what you use for communion, is a faculty of intuition, and also where your conscience is. Your conscience is the voice of your human spirit. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Am I communicating? The voice of your spirit. Okay? Intuition. We'll come to intuition later. Communion. Listen. You don't commune with God with your body. You don't commune with God with your soul. You commune with God with your spirit. The 2 Corinthians 13:14, it said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the communion, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is united with our spirit as one, is glued. He that is joined to the Lord, cemented, glued together, is one spirit. The Holy Spirit does not live in us separate from our human spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is joined together with our spirit, is you in a vital union, united as one. And that's why we can commune with God with our spirit. Am I communicating? When you spend time in prayer, when you pray, you commune with God through prayer, through the word of God, in worship, in praise. It is your spirit that is making vital contact. You commune with God with your spirit. Glory to God. So, you must become God inside minded. Give me Proverbs 20:27. Why is this important? I gave you this because you need to understand the makeup of man if you want to understand how God leads us, and if you want to understand how to hear God easily. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Look up. God leads us through our spirit. This is how God leads us. is not from outside in, it is from inside out. You see, the leading of the Spirit is from within. We receive those signals from within. We hear God from within. God leads us from within. Why? Because He leads us through our spirit. Am I communicating? Our spirit is the receptacle. Our spirit is a receptacle, is the receiving station. Heaven is like the broadcasting station. So our spirit is the receiver, is the receptacle that receives those divine signal transmission coming from heaven's broadcasting station, from the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? So that's why we said, become more spirit conscious. The more spirit conscious you are, the more you hear God. The more spirit conscious you are, the easier you receive the leading of the Spirit. The problem with many of us is that we are too body conscious. And then some other people are too soul conscious. But God wants you to be more spirit conscious, because that is where the Holy Spirit lives. And that is where He's going to lead you from. That's where you are going to hear His voice. Am I communicating? The spirit of man is a candle. What does candle do? Guidance, illumination. Am I communicating? Candle or lamp. A translation says the lamp of God. You need lamp for illumination. You need lamp for direction. You need lamp for guidance. So God guides us. God leads us through our spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. Glory to God. Let me tell you, neighbor, become more spirit conscious to receive the leading of the Spirit. Hi. We spend so much on our body. We invest so much developing our body. 6 packs, 8 packs. Is there 8 packs? You understand? People go to gym all manner. When last did you do spiritual gymming? So that your spirit man will develop muscle. You don't know that your spirit man can be educated and trained in the same way your mind can be educated and trained. When you went to university, you studied that course for all those 4 years, for some courses, 5 years for some 6 years. Eh? Like those studying medicine. What do you think they are doing for those 6 years? They are training your mind. It's your mind though. Now watch this. I pity you if you are just educating only your mind and you are not educating your spirit. You are not training your spirit. Now, training the mind is good. Training the body is good. But listen, none of them is as important as training your spirit. Because man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in his body. So the most important education is spiritual education. The most important form of training is spiritual training. The number one part of you that must be well trained and educated is your spirit first. Then when you've done that, then you can now educate and train your soul, your mind, and then your body. In that order. I say in that order. So it is spirit, soul, and body, not body, soul, and spirit. So feed your spirit before you feed your body. Feed your spirit before you feed your soul. Am I communicating? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Are you getting blessed? So, say with me, I am a spirit. I am a spirit being. I have a soul. I live in my body. Say it again. I am a spirit being. I have a soul. And I live in my body. Listen, with your body, you make contact with and interact with the physical or natural realm, the physical and natural world. It is with your body. Your body is important because of this earth that you are. Without this body, we cannot interact with you. Praise God. So with your body, you make contact with and interact with the physical or natural realm. With your soul, you make contact with and interact with the intellectual and emotional realm. Intellectual and emotional realm. That's with your soul. Then with your spirit, you make contact with and interact with the spiritual realm. Man is a spirit, therefore man must participate in the realm of the spirit. That's why when you sleep and dream, all those dreams you are seeing yourself moving around, running things. Who is that person you are seeing? Your body is lying on that bed. That's your spirit. That's the real you. That's the real you, your spirit, interacting with the realm of the spirit. Am I communicating? Hey. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. So, one of our sonship rights as new creatures in Christ, one of the sonship rights of every child of God is the right to be led by the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit is a sonship right of every child of God. So every child of God should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. I say every child of God should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. It's part of your sonship right. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Next verse. Jump to 16. Give me New King James Version now. The Spirit Himself, because the Holy Spirit is not an it, is Him, is a He. Okay, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Do we have children of God in the house? Children of God, will you shout hallelujah? You know that song? Shout hallelujah to the Lord one time. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't do? Oh, yeah. Shout hallelujah to the Lord half time. Hallelujah. You understand? You see? Or if you don't know how to say, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Glory to God. So, okay, let's move. Don't be led by society. Be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, not as many that are led by society. Don't be led by people. Don't be people led. Don't be led by friends or even family members. Don't be led by peers. Don't bow to peer pressure. That all your friends and peers are doing it does not mean you should do it. Be led by what? The Spirit. So don't be led by society. Don't be people led. Don't even be led by opportunities. Some opportunities can be traps in disguise by the devil. Be led by the Spirit. Glory to God. Don't even be led by money. Be led by the Spirit. A lot of people are money led. A lot, including Christians. You understand? Don't be led by money. Be led by what? The Spirit. A lot of ladies choosing who to marry, the number one requirement for many of them, number one on their list is not God's voice, it's not God's leading. Number one is, which one get money pass? Am I lying? Be led by what? The Spirit of God. Glory to God. I say, you see, if Mommy Faith Oyedepo was not led by the Spirit, you think she would have married Bishop Oyedepo? All the previous lady Bishop Oyedepo asked out, none of them agreed because they judged him based on what they were seeing. And at that point, he didn't have money. Praise God. Three ladies have rejected his proposal. Bishop will tell you, I'm a four-star general. Meaning three ladies have rejected. Mommy Faith was the fourth one. And he proposed to her in a motor park. And he was wearing sandal. It didn't look like it. You don't need to look like it. You see, it takes ladies that are led by the Spirit to see into the future. Many ladies are carnal. Carnal. You know what it means to be carnal? Ladies, I'm not lashing you. Please forgive me. It's by this issue of marriage. We need to handle it once and for all. You understand? That a man has money today Does that mean you will have tomorrow? Open your eye, open your eye. There are those that are broke today, they will be billionaires tomorrow. Be led by what? The Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. When I asked my wife out, oh boy, come see contestant. Some of them had Jeep. Me, I didn't even have a car then. Praise God. You understand? Even one of my wife's suitors then, as in he promised to put her on monthly salary. May she just grieve for him. As a student, she was a student. Monthly salary. You understand? My wife was led by the Spirit. I better clap for her this morning. There used to be one that comes with Jeep to come and see her in Abuja Hostel those days. Hi, thank God. My angels pursue all of them. Praise God. I say praise God. Tell your neighbor, be led by the Spirit. Glory to God. What are the ways God leads us? I say, what are the ways God leads us? I say, don't be led by money, opportunities, people, society, friends, peers. Don't even be led by circumstances. Some people say, I was a victim of circumstance. Say, you see, I didn't have any choice. My brother, you have a choice. Eh? You have a choice. Don't be led by circumstances. I say, don't be led by circumstances. So, what are the ways God leads us? Number one, through His written word. What are the ways God leads us? Number one, through His written word. How many of you have read your Bible before and God spoke to you from the pages of Scripture? As in, you receive the leading of God. Let me see your hand. Me, my hand is already up. This is the number one primary way God leads us. Through His written word. Some people are saying, God does not speak to me. God does not. Shut up. When last did you read your Bible and you meditated? That is the voice of God to you. Listen. The word of God, the written word of God is the voice of God in print. I will say it again. The written word of God is the voice of God to us in print. Don't say God did not talk to you when you didn't read your Bible. You can hear from God every day. Your problem is that you don't read your Bible. You don't study. Praise God. I say praise God. Psalm 29 verse 3, it says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Aya, mande gebosha. The God of glory thundereth. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters of the word. The waters there is representing God's word. The voice of God is upon the waters of His word. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. When you read His word, you study, you meditate, you will hear His voice. Glory to God. The living Logos. Jesus is called the living Logos. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word, the Logos, was God. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and is profitable. For what? Doctrine. That's teaching. Next, for reproof. Has the word of God ever reproved you before? It has reproved me. For correction. Has the word of God ever corrected you? Yes. Listen. The word of God, the instruction, the reproof, the doctrine, the teachings, the correction and all of that you receive from the word of God is as though Jesus appears physically and is doing those things. Are you getting me? The word of God speaking to you is as though Jesus himself appeared in a vision and is speaking to you. Question: how will you take it? With what seriousness will you take it? If Jesus should appear in a vision and speak those same words to you, how serious will you take it? That is how you should take it when you read it from the Bible. Am I communicating? So the word of God is profitable for doctrine. So the Holy Ghost uses the word of God to teach us all things, for reproof, oh yes, for correction. Sometimes we make mistakes, we go into error. The word of God corrects you. You go out of track, it brings you back. Am I communicating? For instruction. God can give you instruction through the written word. God's word contains divine instructions and even commandments. The word of God is a compendium of instructions and commandments from God. God's word is a revelation of his will. The word of God is the will of God in print. Don't say you don't know the will of God when you are ignorant of his word. Because his word is a revelation of his will. You want to know his mind. You want to know God's opinion about any matter. Find out from his word. God's word gives us divine guidance and direction. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. What does lamp do? Lamp gives illumination, guidance, and what? Direction. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God can lead you through his word. He can guide you through his word. Glory to God. Very important. Through rich meditation on God's word, you can train your spirit to become acquainted and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because somebody once asked, how does the voice of God sound? It's simple. It sounds the same way as the one you hear whenever you study and meditate on his word. So, through meditation on God's word, you can train your spirit to become acquainted with and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the word. Am I communicating? No scripture, 2 Peter 1:19, is of any private interpretation, but holy men speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the real author of scriptures. He's the real author of the word. So as you meditate on his word, your spirit is trained to recognize his voice, to become acquainted with his voice. Because when he speaks to you direct, he is with the same voice and tone that he is speaking to you through the pages of scripture. Am I communicating? Proverbs 6:20. The number one way God leads us is through his written word. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Next verse. It says, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. He's talking of God's word now. Next verse. He said, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. I see something. The word of God, the commandments and all of that, he said, it will lead you. Are you seeing something? He says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. The word of God can keep you when you are asleep. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Hey, has this not happened to you before? It has happened to me. I just wake up and then a scripture is talking to me. God is talking to me through his word. Praise God. It shall talk with thee. Next verse. The word of God has a voice. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. What does lamp and light do? It gives you guidance, gives you direction, it leads you. The commandment of the word is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Say with me, I receive grace to read, study, and meditate on God's word. I receive grace to be a prompt doer, a prompt practitioner of the word of God. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. All other forms of God's leading are subject to God's word. In other words, they must be in harmony or agreement with the written word of God. All other forms of God's leading must be consistent with God's word. Any other form of leading that is not in line with God's word, forget about it. Trash it into trash can. Am I communicating? Because the Holy Spirit does not contradict himself. He will not tell you one thing in his written word and then his voice will go and tell you something different. God is not schizophrenic. Am I communicating? God does not have split mind. You know, when they say somebody is schizophrenic, he has like double mind, split mind. God is not confused. Some people will claim Holy Spirit told them something, but when we analyze it in the light of his written word, we realize that it was not the Holy Spirit. They thought it was Holy Spirit, but we know it is not. It's not every voice that is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there are many voices. Even demons speak to people. You don't know? Demons speak to people. Have you not heard the voice of the devil before? Me, I've heard though. Satan speaks to people. Huh? But all the things the voice of the devil will tell you will be contrary to the word of God. To be contrary. But the Holy Spirit, his voice will always be in line with his word. Somebody once said, if you have a challenge hearing God's voice, but if you can hear the voice of the devil clear, you know, some people, they are expert hearers of Satan's voice, but they have a problem hearing God. Somebody, if that is your case, he said, then anything Satan tell you to do, do the opposite. As if he say kill yourself, that means God is saying you should live. No, don't kill yourself. You know, just turn it opposite. Praise God. I say praise God. So the first way God leads us is through his written word. The second way God leads us is through the inward witness. Romans 8:16. Through what we call the inward what? Witness. Romans 8:16. NKJV, New King James Version. The inward witness is an inward knowing. It is supernatural, spiritual, inward knowing, inward awareness, inward perception, inward impression, inward intuition, inward premonition, a spiritual signaling system in your spirit, a spiritual sensing system. Inward promptings, inward nudgings, inward urgings, inward spiritual sensations. Okay. The Spirit himself, Romans 8:16, bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Give me second. Okay, Acts 20:22. Acts 20:22. We said the second way God leads his children is through the inward witness. Now, I said the first primary way God leads us is through his written word. The second primary way is through the inward witness. Okay? God will lead us most of the time through his written word and through the inward witness. I say God will lead us most of the, in fact, 95% of his leading. 95% of the time. These are the two ways, two primary ways God will lead you. Through his written word and through the inward witness. So you need to understand how God leads through these two channels, because most of his leading is coming through these two. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit, Acts 20:22, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. This is Apostle Paul. Look at 23. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth. Are you seeing this? The Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction is what? They are waiting for me there. Can you see that Apostle Paul, by the inward witness, he knew that there is trouble waiting for him in Jerusalem. Bonds and affliction. Are you seeing something? The Holy Spirit witnessed. He didn't say the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I hope you know there is a huge difference. This is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is God guiding, leading Apostle Paul through the inward witness. The Spirit bears witness. Remember, the Holy Spirit is in union with your spirit. So, it testifies. See, the Holy Spirit joins with our spirit to bear witness. Am I communicating? It's like a joint testimony. The Holy Spirit jointly testifies with our spirit. This is how you know that you are born again. Let me ask you a question. How did you know you are born again? Is it because you kept hearing a voice that, my son, you are born again, you are saved, you are heaven bound, my son, you are saved? This thing we call assurance of salvation, how does it come? Somebody say, through the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. It's through the inward witness. You know with a restful assurance that you are born again. It's the inward witness. He said the Spirit witnesseth in every city. We call it the witness of the Spirit. Inward. It's an inward thing. It's not an outside thing. Glory to God. It's not outward. It's inward. Then give me 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 9. 2 Kings 4 verse 9. This is very, very important. Sometimes you receive leading through all those spirit-inspired thoughts. It comes to your mind. Spirit-inspired ideas. Spirit-inspired images, pictures. The Holy Ghost can just flash them. You understand? Those spiritual sensations, godly desires. Am I communicating? They are all part of this spiritual signaling system called the inward witness. Spiritual sensing. Listen, the inward witness may not be spectacular, but it is supernatural. Did you hear what I said? All the leadings of God's Spirit are supernatural, just like the Word of God. The Word of God may not be spectacular, but it is supernatural where God leads us. The inward witness may not be spectacular, but it is a supernatural way God leads us. It is as supernatural as Jesus appearing and speaking to you. Am I communicating? So it is not inferior to any of those spectacular methods. Okay? And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Glory to God. I perceive. She didn't say I heard a voice. Did you notice? I perceive is the inward witness. Inward perception with our spirit. You perceive with your spirit. Your spiritual organs of perception, may they come alive in the name of Jesus. May your spiritual senses be activated. May your spiritual organs of perception be activated to receive the leading of the Spirit. She said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. And she was correct. Was she wrong or right? She was right. The Shunammite woman, Prophet Elisha. Mark chapter 2 verse 8. Look at Jesus. Do you know, Jesus, when I studied the ministry of Jesus, it's interesting to note that God only spoke to Jesus using the audible voice only 3 times during his earth walk. Only three times. Now, question. How was Jesus led all the other times? It's primarily through the written word and through the inward witness. Am I communicating? God spoke to Jesus through the inward witness. Through the audible voice. Only three times. Number one, at his baptism, the heavens were open. The Holy Ghost descended like a dove. Papa God spoke, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." The second time, at the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John was there. There was a voice from heaven. A cloud overshadowed them, glory cloud, and God spoke. The third time, John 12, before Jesus went to before he was crucified, John 12, 27, Jesus was praying. He says, "The hour has come to glorify thy son, glorify thy son." And then God said, "I have glorified it." Are you getting me? These were the only three times. So, but funny Christians want God to be talking to them through audible voice every day, per second, per second. You better wake up. The primary way God will lead you per second is what I'm teaching you. Somebody say the inward witness. This inward perception. He said immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit. Can you see that? How did he perceive? Somebody said through the inward witness. He perceived that they reason within themselves. He said, "Why reason ye these things in your heart?" So Jesus could know things supernaturally. The inward witness is a supernatural knowing. How many of you have been there? You knew that this thing will end up like this. It's not that you heard a voice, you just knew in your spirit. Supernaturally, you knew. How many of you have been there? It's the inward witness. But most of us, we don't pay attention to it. But I'm teaching you so that you start paying attention. The inward witness is a spiritual, supernatural knowing in your spirit. Spiritual awareness, impression, intuition, a premonition, an inward perception. I said is a spiritual signaling system. Give me John 6 verse 6. Spiritual sensing system. Inward promptings. How many of you have been prompted in your spirit to do some things? It's the inward witness operation. It's part of the operation. Inward promptings, a nudging, urging in your spirit to do this, not to do this, to travel, not to travel, to call this person, not to call. Are you getting me? And this is said, Jesus, when they were challenged with feeding that multitude in the wilderness, this is said to prove him, for he himself knew what he will do. How did he know what he will do in the midst of crisis? Somebody said, through the inward witness. It's a spiritual knowing. You just know supernaturally by the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not a voice per se. Am I communicating? Luke chapter 6 verse 8. You will see how Jesus operated using the inward witness. He was led so much by this method. But he, Jesus, knew their thoughts. How did he know? How on earth will you know another person's thought? It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Is the inward witness is a spiritual, supernatural knowing. You know by the Spirit. You know things by the Spirit, supernaturally. He said, he knew their thought and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up, stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5 verse 22. How many of you are enjoying this teaching? The inward witness. Glory to God. But when Jesus perceived, you see it again, perceived their thoughts. Inward perception. He answered, said unto them, "What reason ye in your heart?" That perception is an operation of the inward witness. Then Acts chapter 8 verse 23. "For I perceive," this is Peter speaking to Simon the sorcerer, who offered them bribe to give him power. When he saw that through the laying hand of the hands of Apostle Peter and John, the Holy Ghost came upon the new convert after the Samaritan crusade. He now gave them money. Peter said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He didn't say God spoke to me. I perceive. Somebody say inward witness. Very important. Then Acts 27 verse 10. This was on a journey. They were inside a ship and they were on a journey. And Apostle Paul stood up and said, Sirs, he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive. Somebody say, I perceive. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. So Apostle Paul sensed that there was danger in that trip. He sensed that there's going to be an accident. He picked it. He picked those signals. You see, through the inward witness, he could perceive that this accident is going to result into all this. Am I communicating? Did you notice he didn't say God spoke to me? I perceive. This is another way God leads. In fact, one of the primary ways. And like I told you, this may not be spectacular. Like when there is seven thunder and alpha flashes, and then you see 53 angels. My son. It may not be spectacular, listen, but it is supernatural. It is as supernatural as any other spectacular method. And it is not inferior to any of the spectacular methods. Am I communicating of God's guidance? I perceive can save your life. I say I perceive can save your life. Oh. Next verse. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Unfortunately, they didn't listen to him. He says, the centurion believed the master and the owner. Next verse. And because the heaven was now commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might have attained Phoenice. There they went to winter and heaven. Next verse. And when the south wind, watch this, the south wind blew softly. Softly. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing tents, they sailed close to Crete. Spiritual man is saying that I perceive danger. But they didn't listen to him. They rather listened, the centurion listened to the master and owner of the ship. And then the external circumstance, the weather, was in favor of a smooth flight. They were judging based on the senses. You see, we are not led by the senses. I say we are not led by the five physical senses. We are led from within. We are led by the spirit from within, based on God's word. They saw that, everything is fine. Weather report, perfect. But if you read down, you will see that they had a shipwreck. But thank God, because the angel of the Lord appeared and told Paul that nobody will die. Glory to God. But if they had listened to Paul, they would have averted that accident. Tell your neighbor, learn to yield to the leading of the Spirit through the inward witness. Job 33 verse 14. Job 33 verse 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice. Man what? Are you seeing something that I'm seeing there? He says, after God speak, the first way you pick it is through that inward perception. He said, God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceive it not. So, when you are not picking those divine signals through the inward witness, through that inward perception, God is talking to you, but your inward perception is not picking it. What will God do? Watch what God will do next. In a dream, then God will now show up in it. He will pass the message through it. Can you see that dream is not primary, it's secondary. The inward witness was first. You know, some of us are too stubborn. Some of us are too noisy during the day. You are noisy. God is talking to you, but your spirit, your mind is too noisy. You are not hearing him. Eh? What you will have perceived during the day, because of your noisy mind and busy, you are not paying attention. God will now leave you. Say, he will even tell the angels, he's my son, I know him. This one, you know they hear. And God will wait. By the time you are snoring, rapid eye movement sleep, he will now say, oh yeah, pass the message. In a vision of the night, in a dream, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Next verse. Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction. Are you seeing this? This is very important. Glory to God. Acts 17:16, then Acts 18 verse 5. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, watch this, his spirit was stirred in him. Can you see another operation of the inward witness? He said his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. That's the city of Athens. And what did Paul do? If you read down, he started preaching to them. Now, did you notice how God led him to preach the gospel to the people there? His spirit was stirred by what he saw, the whole city given to idolatry. He didn't say the Holy Ghost spoke to me audibly that preach to these people. He said his spirit was stirred. And then Acts 18 verse 5. Watch another operation of the inward witness. Acts 18 verse 5. It says, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. Can you see another operation? He was pressed in the spirit. Have you been pressed in the spirit to do some things before? Have you been pressed in the spirit to preach the gospel? It's part of the way God leads you, through the inward witness. He said he was pressed in the spirit, and then he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. It was God leading him. Now take note of these characteristics of the inward witness or inward perception. Characteristics: it is repetitive, persistent. It is persistent and repetitive. When God is leading you to do something through the inward witness, it is usually repetitive, and it is what? Persistent. Praise God. Let's celebrate Dr. Chimeze Kingsley. Come. He got married May. I was in his wedding. How many of you remembered Dr. Ghana? Good. They were among those founding people when AGMI began. And he had worked in Saudi Arabia. How many of you remember my birthday? He was among the people that sent birthday this year, all the way from Saudi Arabia. You know, he got married to Dr. Chisum. Wonderful people. Chisum is already in the UK. He will be going to join her very soon. You know, he came to worship with us. We love you. We celebrate you. Maybe I'll give you short time to greet us very well. Celebrate him. Hallelujah. So, characteristics, I said the inward witness is persistent and repetitive. The thing will just keep coming. It will keep coming. And then it comes with a strong conviction. And then it comes with inner peace, the peace of God. Anytime God is leading you through the inward witness or any other method, it will be characterized by the peace of God. If Satan is leading you to do something, you will not have peace, because Satan himself does not have peace, and Satan cannot give what he does not have. So if God is leading you, you will have peace in your heart. When you pray about it, you will have peace like a river. When the devil is leading you, you will lack peace. The inward witness is supernatural, though not spectacular. The inward witness, together with God's word, are the basis for judging all other forms of God's leading. Am I communicating? I said the inward witness together with God's word are the basis for judging all other forms of God's leading. Acts chapter 16 verse 6. Let me show you something there. Acts 16 verse 6. Glory to God. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Next verse. After they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Next verse. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Next verse. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Now, God used spectacular guidance here in form of vision, that night vision. But did you notice that he said, after we had seen, he, Apostle Paul, saw the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Mark this word, assuredly gathering. How did they get that assurance that is God leading them? It was through the inward witness. So they too were convinced through the inward witness. He gave them that assurance. Are you seeing this? Glory to God. So you use the inward witness to even judge God's leading through visions. Are you seeing something? Then in Acts chapter 20, 22 to 23, we read earlier, Paul said he's going to Jerusalem, he's bound in the spirit, going to Jerusalem. He said he doesn't know what is waiting for him there, but except that the Holy Ghost witnessed that bonds and affliction is waiting for me. Then in Acts 21, 10 to 14, you will see Prophet Agabus. He came and prophesied to Apostle Paul. He took Apostle Paul's schedule and did what we call prophetic drama. No, prophets have drama. Prophetic dramatization. He bound his hand and foot with Paul's schedule. He said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bound the one who owns this schedule. And who owns the schedule? Apostle Paul. Was Agabus, Prophet Agabus, correct? Yes. But did you notice one chapter before 21, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through the inward witness, has already told Paul that there is problem waiting for you, bonds and affliction. So Paul was not surprised. This prophecy of Prophet Agabus only came to confirm what God have already told Paul through the inward witness in Acts 20, 22 to 23. Are you seeing something? So watch this. I always tell people, if I give you any prophecy that does not, as in your spirit does not bear witness with it, and you have issues, as in there is this lack of confirmation by the inward witness, trash it into the trash can. Am I communicating? It's very important, because every genuine prophecy will be confirmed by the inward witness. Are you getting me? Don't be a victim. Because many people have become victims. I once counseled a woman. She was having terrible problems in her marriage. In fact, her husband is not even coming to church again. He works in one of the local government. She's not a member of this ministry. Came for counseling. Before you know, the husband was chasing other women. Before you know, he carried another woman put in the house. Officially or unofficially, he has married a second wife. The woman was troubled. The worst problem is that nobody can talk to the man. He doesn't go to church. He was going before, he stopped going. I said, who does he listen to? He said he doesn't listen to anybody, not even his biological father. I said, so what shall we do? We can only pray. We don't know when God will touch his heart. God, he doesn't listen to anybody. I said, if you tell him to come to see me, will he come? He said, he will not come. And then I now asked the woman one question. I said, how did you marry this man? Were you convinced? Did you pray? Did you find out the will of God? She then stood. Her eyes changed. She said, Kai, he said, it was in a service. She attended a program. Then a prophet, he was an invited guest, then prophesied. You know, there's all called prophetic marriage. That the prophet prophesied that this is her husband. Then I now asked her, I said, okay, I said, apart from what the prophet said, you, when you prayed about it, what was the leading God was giving you in your spirit? She said it was negative. She was getting a negative signal that she shouldn't marry him. Then she now said, but the prophet said, he's my husband. So she ignored the leading she was receiving through the inward witness and then accepted what the prophet said, and that was how they married, and trouble started. Am I communicating? I believe in prophecy, but I don't believe in manipulation. I don't believe in prophetic manipulation. Am I communicating? In dispensing the prophetic, you need a lot of wisdom. Because some prophets, they lack wisdom. They have caused problems in marriages. It's not everything you see your mouth go talk. You need wisdom. Say, now your husband be, hey! You know what God is showing me now? I'm seeing him with three different kinds of women in a hotel room. The wife, hey! And then after the service, it's going to be boxing competition at home. You understand? Because lack of wisdom. Am I communicating? There are things that you don't say publicly. You need wisdom, okay? You can tell the person to see you privately, and then you counsel the person. Oga, you need to change. You are a married man, but Oga, you dey mess up. You understand? You do that one-on-one. Not that you go and tell his wife. Or you go and tell her husband. That is the formula for disaster. Even in hospital, when they discover one spouse has HIV, they won't automatically tell the husband. They will tell you, to tell your husband by yourself. The doctor will encourage you. Do tell him yourself. You understand? Doctor will not just say, Oga, hey, come home. Hey. You say now your wife be there. Hey, you don't enter one chance. Hey, this woman get HIV, you go die. No. There's what we call confidentiality. Praise God. Somebody say, I receive wisdom. Listen. Some prophets have caused trouble. Husband and wife are having challenge. He said, Chai! He said, Madam. Hey. Okay, let me stop here. I don't want trouble. Praise God. There has to be balance. So, when you are being led, you need to understand the operation of the inward witness. Okay? Number three. The voice, I said the first way God leads us is through his written word. Number two, the inward witness. Number three, the voice of your human spirit, what we call your conscience. Romans 9 verse 1. The voice of your conscience is a gentle, suggestive voice. It is a still, small voice. Hallelujah. Your conscience, however, must be correctly trained by God's word to be a sure guide. Glory to God. Romans 9:1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. God can guide you through the voice of your own human spirit. Call your conscience. It is that gentle voice speaking to you. Either suggesting, you see, the voice of the human spirit called the conscience is more of suggestive when he's speaking to you. Am I communicating? It's part of the difference. When I come later to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you realize the voice of the Holy Spirit is more is commanding, while the voice of your human spirit is suggestive. It's one of the difference between both. Praise God. So your spirit is in union with the Holy Ghost, so the Holy Ghost can lead you through your spirit. Psalm 16 verse 7. However, I said your conscience must be correctly trained by God's word to be a sure guide. Because sometimes it has been wrongly trained. You know, there are some cultures that do unscriptural things, and it is accepted as the norm in such culture. They don't see anything wrong with it. Am I communicating? But the fact that they have accepted it as a normal practice does not mean it is correct. You have to judge it in the light of God's word. Praise God. I say praise God. So that's why we say your conscience should be trained. Learn to meditate on the word of God. Okay? New King James Version, Psalm 16, verse 7. So I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins there is my heart. New King James Version say, my heart also instructs me in what? The night season. Your spirit is in your heart. Hallelujah. So God can instruct you during the night seasons of your life through your human spirit, through your heart. Glory to God. You should do well to exercise your conscience to be void of offense toward God and toward men. Acts 24:16. You should do well to exercise your conscience to be void of offense toward God and toward men, so that you can easily hear God through that channel. He said, herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Hallelujah. Always maintain a tender, good, clear, and pure conscience, so that it can be a very good receptacle. Okay? Always maintain a tender conscience, a good conscience, a clear conscience, and a pure conscience. You see that in 1 Timothy 1:5, 1 Timothy 1:19, 1 Timothy 3:9, 1 Timothy 4:2, 2 Timothy 1:3. What is the fourth way God leads us? The fourth way God leads us is through the voice of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 29:3. Through the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Is it the voice of the Lord is upon the waters? The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The Holy Spirit can speak directly to you. He has a voice. The voice of the Lord is powerful, full of power. The voice of the Lord is full of what? Majesty. So the voice of the Holy Spirit is powerful, is majestic, is authoritative, but it is not dominating. It is authoritative and commanding. I say it is authoritative and commanding, unlike the voice of your conscience. The voice of your conscience is suggestive. It suggests to you. But the voice of the Holy Spirit is commanding and authoritative. Okay? That's one of the ways you know the difference. In scriptures, Apostle John and Prophet Ezekiel, they liken the voice of the Holy Spirit to the sound of many waters. Revelation 1:15. His voice is likened to as the sound of many waters. Glory to God. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if it were burned in furnace. His voice is as the sound of what? Many waters. Revelation 14:2. Revelation 14 verse 2. Glory to God. He said, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. You see it again. As the voice of great thunder, I heard the voice of harpers harping with the harp. Glory to God. So Acts 8:29, you will see the voice of the Holy Spirit leading Peter to join himself to the chariot that contained the Ethiopian eunuch. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. So the Holy Spirit can speak to you directly. Glory to God. I say glory to God. In Acts chapter 13 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. That was how the first missionary journey began. The apostolic ministry began. Today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Tell your neighbor, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. The voice of God is always in agreement with his written word. I said that earlier. It is never contradictory. The voice of God never contradicts his written word. The voice of God is accompanied by his peace. The voice of God is accompanied by the peace of God. Psalm 85 verse 8. I will hear what the Lord will say. Psalm 85 verse 8. I will hear what the Lord will speak. For he will speak what? Peace to his people. Any voice you hear and you don't have peace is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. His voice comes with his peace. He says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. He will speak peace unto his people. Let them not turn again to folly. Then Isaiah chapter 55 verse 12. His voice is accompanied by his peace and even joy. Peace and joy can accompany the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will have peace about it and you will be happy inside. You will have joy about it. Anytime you think of it, there is this joy. Praise God. I say praise God. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with what? Peace. So if God is leading you, you will have joy, you will have peace. The mountain and hill shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Watch this. If God is leading you to do something, listen. The more you pray about it and see God's face, the stronger the leading will become. And the more you will have peace. And anytime you think of it, there will be peace. But if God is not the one leading you, the more you think about, the more you pray about it, the more you will lose your peace. There will be that the waters of your spirit man will be ruffled. Am I communicating? When God is not leading you, you will not have peace. And you will not be happy anytime you think about it. It's as if you will lose your happiness and joy. Am I communicating? It's very important. His leading is accompanied with his peace. Colossians 3:15. He said, let the peace of God be the referee in your heart. Let it rule. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God become the referee. You know the way the job of an umpire? Eh? Give me an amplified. A referee during sports, during football match, what does a referee do? His job, what's his job? To ensure that they are playing the game according to the rules, ba? If somebody rough tackles somebody else, what does the referee do? Blow, he stop the game. He says, that referee, just like the referee is controlling the game, is ruling. That is how the peace of God in your heart. That is how he leads and guides to check that you are in harmony with the will of God. Okay? It says, let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ rule. He says, act as umpire. Umpire also means referee. Act as umpire continually. Glory to God. That person that you say you are in a relationship with, and you anytime you pray, you are always afraid. You think of him. They force you. They say, I don't know whether it's the will of God. God have not spoken. What do you mean by God have not spoken? God have already spoken longest time. You are too deaf to hear. Is that not enough sign to tell you don't enter one chance? You are in a relationship, you don't have peace. You are in a relationship, it's as if it's a burden, it's a yoke on your neck. Is that not? Do you still need a prophet? Do you need Jesus to appear and say, my daughter, come out? A butter. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, be wise. Be spirit led. What are the other forms of spectacular guidance? Other spectacular ways God leads us. These other spectacular ways I'm talking about, they are the secondary methods. They are subject to confirmation by the written word of God and the inward witness. I say these are secondary methods, okay, of God's leading. They are subject to confirmation by the written word of God and the inward witness. So what are these other spectacular ways? Number one is the audible voice of God. The audible voice of God. I told you Jesus heard the audible voice only 3 times. So the audible voice of God is not a common way. Rather, it is a rare spectacular method God leads us. Okay? Okay? Jesus heard the audible voice of God only 3 times during his earth walk. In Matthew 3:16-17, he heard it at his baptism when he was being baptized by John the Baptist. In Matthew 17:5-6, he heard that audible voice again at the Mount of Transfiguration. In John 12:27-30, he heard the audible voice just before his crucifixion. Okay? Apostle Paul heard the audible voice of God in Acts 26:13-18 on the road to Damascus, when at midday suddenly the glory of God, that shining bright light of God's glory, ambushed him and his team, and they all fell to the ground, and he heard the voice of God speaking to him in Hebrew language. You know, God can communicate. God is a master communicator. Even if you don't understand English, if all you know is Biram, you will hear the voice of God in Biram. That was what happened here. He said, Saul, why persecuted thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Glory to God. What is the next one? Visions. Acts 2:17. Visions and revelation. Visions and revelation. Acts 2:17. Give me an amplified. Shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Visions. Visionary encounters. It says, your young men shall see visions. What is in bracket? Divinely what? Granted appearances. Okay? They are divinely granted appearances by the Spirit of God. Then Acts 9:10. Now there is inward spiritual vision, then there is open vision. What's the difference between the two? I'll tell you. But let's read this Acts 9:10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him he said, to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Watch this. He prayeth. Next verse. And hath seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. God directed Ananias to go and minister to Apostle Paul who after that encounter on the road to Damascus, that light of God's glory that ambushed him and his team, the brightness was so much that Paul was blind for 3 days after that encounter. And the Bible says, it says, Paul is praying and he has seen in a vision. So that's to tell you it's not his physical eyes, because he was blind at this point. Am I communicating? So this is a spiritual vision. He saw with the eyes of his spirit. It's an inward spiritual vision. It's different from open vision. What's the difference? In inward spiritual vision, you are seeing the vision with your spirit, with the eyes of your spirit, but not with this, your physical eyes. But in an open vision, you are seeing with this, your koro eyes. You are seeing into the realm of the spirit. That's an open vision. Am I communicating? You see that in 1 Samuel 3:1. The Bible says in those days, the word of God was rare and there were no open vision. You see that? The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of God was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That's open vision there. Then Acts 7:55. Praise God. Acts 7:55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is Stephen, when they were stoning him, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on what? The right hand of God. 56. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You see Stephen there having a visionary encounter. Glory to God. Also in Acts 26:12, we read earlier, Acts 26:12, it says, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. Next verse. At midday, O king, I saw in a way a light from heaven. This also was an open vision that Paul saw. Above, the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and there which journeyed with me. So he had a visionary encounter there. Glory to God. Then in Acts 10:3. Glory to God. He saw in a vision, that's Peter. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour. Ninth hour is 3 p.m. of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Okay? And when he looked on him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? He said, thy prayers. Okay, this is Cornelius, not Peter. He said, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Then the next form of spectacular way God leads us is through trances. Trance. What is a trance? A trance is a dream-like state. How many of you have been there? Most of the time, you usually have trances just before you start sleeping, just before you fall to sleep, especially after praying. How many of you been there? You prayed, and then you lie down just before you started sleeping. You had a trance. You saw a vision. It's a form of a vision, but it comes in a trance-like state. Or just before you finally became awake. You know those that you have woken up, but you have not fully woken up. You are still on the bed. You are aware of what is happening, but you've not. There is this small sleep, and then you had a vision. That's a trance. It's a dream-like state. Okay, you saw a vision in that dream-like state. Glory to God. And when he looked on him, he said, okay, I says Acts 10:9. Jump to verse 9. That vision of Peter. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew near the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, that's 12 p.m. Next verse. And he became very hungry, so Peter was not fasting and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Okay? Can you see that word trance? He was waiting for food to be ready, and then he fell into a trance. And we don't know whether it was induced by hunger. Next verse. And so heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending upon him, as there had been a great sheet knit at four corners, and let down to the earth. Next verse. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him. Now this is the voice of God. He said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord." You see how strong the law of Moses is. "For I have never eaten anything that is common, that is called common or unclean." Now all those animals he saw in that vision, according to the law of Moses, they are unclean. He saw pig, dog, all those animals that the law of Moses said they shouldn't eat. And it's a picture of the Gentiles. Am I communicating? Is this vision actually... Peter was the first God opened the door to take the gospel to the Gentiles to, even before Apostle Paul. This vision is what he's trying to explain. But because of religion, he knew it was the voice of God, yet he said, "Not so, Lord." Religion can be very strong. Praise God. You need to renew your mind with the word of God. So, another form of spectacular way God leads us is through dreams. Dreams of the night. Okay? Dreams that are... Now, dreams can come from the Holy Spirit, from God. Dreams can also come from Satan or demons. Dreams can come from multitude of business. So, when you dream any dream, when you wake up, first of all, discern the source of the dream. It's one of these three channels. Either from multitude of business, there are so many things you fed your mind with, all those movies you watch, or you thought about this girl that you love so much, you were so obsessed with her. Now you are now dreaming that two of you are marrying. You now come and say, "God have spoken." Now lie, God no speak anything. You were obsessed with the thought of the person. It will show up in your dream now. You don't know. One of the key to dream interpretation is the last thought on your mind before you went to bed. What were the last things you were thinking about? Your mind was dwelling on what? It's key to interpreting dreams. You don't know? It's key. Praise God. Or as a lady, you are wondering which one. Is it John or John Bosco? Or is it Joshua? All of them have JJJ. But you like Joshua because he has a Jeep. God knows. You can't lie to God. Inside, somewhere, God knows that you prefer Joshua. So you are not thinking about Joshua. Say, God, please show me your will. But somewhere inside your heart, let it be Joshua, oh Lord. Let it be Joshua. So now you thought of Joshua, and it's very romantic. He even sent you romantic text message before you went to bed. You were just, you read it 10 times. You were just thinking of him, and then you now slept and had a dream that you were about to cross the road, and rain was falling, and you know just now it's raining season. And then you were wondering what to do, and then suddenly Joshua showed up with umbrella. And then you now woke up and say, "God, I've spoken." God have not spoken anything. No. So, that dream is coming from you. Praise God. So you need to discern the source of dream. Matthew 1:20. Dreams can come from God, can come from Satan, can come from your mind. Know which one is which. Watch this. While he thought on these things, that's Joseph. He was engaged to Mary. He had not slept with her, and Mary is telling him that she is now pregnant as a virgin. So Joseph was planning to just send her away quietly, privately. He didn't want to make a public example, because there's nothing you will tell him that will make him not to believe that she had slept with another man. How can you be pregnant? I've never slept with you, and I'm engaged to you. So he was planning to just pursue her quietly. While he thought on those things, which things? What is plan? That's why I said the last thought on your mind is key to interpreting dreams. He was planning, strategizing how he would chase Mary away. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you see this? So God led him through that dream. Then if you read 2:12, you will see Matthew 2:12, how God appeared to those wise men after they went to see Herod and warned them that they should not go back to him, because he will kill the baby Jesus. He said, go and check, then bring me words. Praise God. Then in Acts chapter 18 verse 9, you will also see where in a night vision God spoke to Apostle Paul in the night by a vision. He had a dream, a vision of the night. He said, be not afraid, speak, hold not thy peace. Glory to God. So God can lead through dreams. It's just that, like I said, you need to judge it. You need to know where it is coming from, so that Satan or your mind will not deceive you. Then the next one is angels. We can be led by angels. One of the way God leads us is through angels. Okay? The ministry of angels. Angelic guidance. Acts 8:26. You will see an angel of the Lord speaking to Philip in Acts 8:26. Glory to God. The angel of the Lord speak unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way going down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is in the desert. Glory to God. Then also in Acts 27 verse 23, in that their journey, the Apostle Paul warned them. He said, I perceive. They didn't listen. Now they were in trouble. And then Paul then spoke to them when they were having those experiences of shipwreck. He said, for there stood by me an angel, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Okay? Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that are with thee. So you see, God spoke to Apostle Paul through the ministry of that angel. Okay? So God can lead us through the ministry of angels. Glory to God. We have read Matthew chapter 1, 20 to 21, Matthew 2, 11 to 14, Matthew 2, 19 to 21. You will see how the angel of the Lord was guiding Joseph and the mother, giving direction in the dream and all of that to keep Jesus away from Herod, to secure his life and destiny. Glory to God. Then the last spectacular way God leads for today is through prophecy. I've started talking about that. God can lead us through prophecy, whether coming from prophets or priests or your pastor. Prophecy, okay? But like I said, such prophecy, your spirit should bear witness to it, and it should be a confirmation of the leading that God has been giving you. Am I communicating? Either through the inward witness or that primary method. Okay? So it should either be a confirmation of God's leading to you, or your spirit should bear witness that it is true. Okay? So in Acts 21 verse 10 to 14, you will see how Agabus gave a prophecy concerning Apostle Paul of what will happen to him if he goes to Jerusalem. And in Acts 20, 22 to 23, God had already signaled to Apostle Paul through the inward witness that bonds and affliction are waiting for him. So it was a confirmation. The prophecy of Agabus only confirmed what God had told Paul. Then you see First Samuel 3 verse 4 to 14 is a long read. You can go and study it. How the voice of God sounded to young prophet Samuel like the voice of Eli the priest. God will come and God will stand, and then God will call Samuel. Samuel will wake up and run to Eli. He said, "You called me." He said, "I didn't call you. Go and lie down again." You go and lie down. God will come again and stand. Samuel, he will go again to Eli. Why do you think he kept going to Eli? It's simple. The voice of God sounded like the voice of Eli to Samuel. Am I communicating? Sometimes God can speak to you through the voice of your pastor. It may be through a message. It may be through some... Are you getting me? The Holy Ghost can use the voice of your shepherd to lead you. Give me Isaiah 30:20. God will always speak to you with a familiar voice. He can use the voice of your shepherd. Okay? Isaiah 30:20. "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore." He said, "Thy eyes shall see thy teachers." Is that full stop? That's a colon. Then watch this. He said, And thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, "This is the way. Walk here in it." When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. In other words, as you subscribe to the teachings of your teachers, he said, you will hear the voice of God. Am I communicating? I say you will hear the voice of God. It may be through their messages. It may be through any of those. It may even be through visions and encounters. There are many people that have called me that they saw me in their dream and I was telling them what to do, giving direction and all of that. That's actually God taking my face to what? Lead and guide them. Am I communicating? So, God can lead through that method too. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 12. Isaiah 63 verse 12. It says, "That led them by the right hand of Moses." He said, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet was he preserved. Moses was that prophet. He led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. Now, I round up with this. Take note of the following. God can use one or more ways to lead us today. God can use one or more methods. All of God's methods, all of God's ways or methods of leading are divine and supernatural. All of them are divine and supernatural, but not all of them are spectacular. What are the spectacular ones? Audible voice of God, visions, trances, dreams, angels, prophecy. You know, it says all of God's method of leading are divine and supernatural, but not all of them are spectacular. The spectacular methods are not superior to the non-spectacular methods. God used more of the spectacular methods in the Old Testament to lead Old Testament folks because they were not born again. They were spiritually dead, unregenerated, and they did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in them. So God needed to use such methods that appealed to their senses to lead and guide them. But in the New Testament, spectacular methods are more of the secondary ways God leads us. Receiving spectacular guidance is not a badge or sign of spiritual maturity. It's not a badge of spirituality. It does not mean you are more spiritual than others, but it is an act of God's grace and mercy. By prophetic privilege, based on your calling, based on the special grace on your life, you can enjoy what we call prophetic privilege. So you can be granted access more to certain prophetic, visionary, and angelic encounters more than other believers. You may have more of these spectacular experiences by prophetic privilege. more frequently than other believers, but never make the mistake of making a doctrine out of spectacular encounters and personal supernatural experiences. Make the Word of God your guide. Okay? Make the Word of God your guide. And like I said, all spectacular leadings are subject to the written word, and they are subject to confirmation by the inward witness. They must be in harmony, they must be in agreement with these few words of mine. I hope I've been able to convince you, not to confuse you, that these are the ways God leads us in the New Testament. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Let's rise to our feet. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to appreciate God for His word that just came to you. Go ahead and celebrate Him. Go ahead and appreciate Him. Kelobo shala bagadia. Embreke toska bora bakida hala brande kepa. Go ahead and celebrate God. Mande po shala bande sofra hadila bonde ketila. Rondiska branda kapalatia. Mante ke bresko takabalatai. Go ahead and bless Him for the revelation. You have received His word. Thank you, Father. Acts chapter 27, verse 10. I want us to pray this prayer. Paul said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden, but also of our lives." Now, if they had listened to Apostle Paul, they wouldn't have suffered shipwreck. But they did. They ignored the inward perception. I want you to pray. Now, listen. Your spirit has spiritual senses. No, we have physical senses. Do you know these physical senses? They are patterned after your spiritual senses. So that we have physical sight, we also have spiritual sight. The reason why we have physical sight is because we first had spiritual sight. The reason why we have physical hearing is because we first have spiritual ears. We have spiritual taste. Why do you think the scripture say taste and see that the Lord is good? Is it with this physical taste? No, it's a spiritual taste, spiritual nose, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. There's what we call spiritual sensation. Am I communicating? To receive the leading of the Spirit, your spiritual organs of perception must come alive. They must be activated. They must be sharpened. Heightened discernment. The prayer is simple. You are going to pray, "Father, let my spiritual senses, my spiritual organs of perception be activated. Let them become sensitive. Let them become super sensitive to receive those divine signal transmission, to receive the leadings of the Spirit. To receive Mandeke Braskapatia." Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Jele Brondo Suvregida Lepato Sepeletena Manda Kubrakatai. Let grace for spiritual sensitivity rest upon me. Grace for spiritual discernment. Grace for spiritual sensitivity. Grace for spiritual discernment. Let it rest upon me. Let my spiritual organs of perception come alive. Let them be activated so that I can hear God, so that I can receive of God and receive of the leading of the Spirit. La brande ke barakatai, embrokotos ke teliga brande ke palatai. Ila barondo sovrahadia kambalasete embrosko pola manta kabaya iva brande ke brekete kete lagabagata gabrakatai ele friko poresidi barakatai. Sensitive sensitivity to your voice, sensitivity to your leading. La doska brindo konja liva balatiza. In Jesus' name. John chapter 5 verse 19. Jesus said the Son can do nothing of himself, but as I hear, I judge. It says, verily, verily, I say, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. What he seeth the Father do. And whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. No wonder Jesus never missed it. Because the only things he was doing were the things he saw his Father doing. Then go to verse 30. John 5, 30. Watch this. John 5, verse 30. Munda barakatai. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear from headquarters, as I hear the voice of God, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. Kenneth Hagin calls this the spirit of seeing and knowing. The spirit of seeing and knowing. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, baptize me with this grace, this spirit of seeing and knowing, so that I will see and know your will, so that I will see and know the right thing to do, so that I will see and know the right step to take. The spirit of seeing and knowing, let it be activated. Lift up your voice. Mandeke barakatai. Grant me a seeing eye and a hearing ear. Let my eyes be anointed with eye salve that I may see. Let my ears be anointed that I may hear. Lakabatose branda kabatai. Ikobokoto bagadai. The Bible says a seeing eye, a hearing ear, they come from the Lord. Jala brondo suvrehida. Kalabadose bilabalata. Umbalada barada balada, jala branda boko se peletena, rakabatosa branda kapalata, embrosko ponde ke brekete, rakabakatosa bande ke brekete, eroko pondo brakatai, ila frekilo se peketena. The spirit of seeing and knowing, let there be a release. Baptize us tonight with the spirit of seeing and knowing, so that we will know and do your will, so that we discern your voice. Liga patose preketena. Karobo shalabande ke breketea. In Jesus' name. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. I want to give opportunity to someone in this place. You want to surrender your life to Jesus? I want to give you this opportunity to make your ways right with God. You want a wonderful relationship with Him. You want to receive the gift of eternal life. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, whether in this hall or following online, just lift up your right hand. I want to give you this awesome opportunity to make the most important decision. If you are lifting up your right hand, I want you to come and meet me in front. Oh yes, come and meet me in front. And in case you are following online, I want you to stand in front of your phone or your computer or the device you are using to stream this service. This is the most important decision you can ever make. Now, I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin, and on the third day you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive the gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080 0765302610 or 0703699 1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.